Called for a purpose. We're looking at the whole thing of what is a disciple, because that's what we're called. What is it? And so 2 weeks ago, the first thing we hit on was the fact of the whole, that word disciple, is it's a student-teacher relationship where the student embodies, adopts the teacher's philosophy, way of life, and practices. And so when Jesus said, unless you, you know, eat my flesh and drink my blood, which offended a number of people, what he was saying there, and what he was saying was, unless you adopt who I am in your life, you're not really my disciple. If you're just listening, but you're not absorbing it in. And so a disciple, as we as disciples are wanting to have everything, we want to be conformed into his image. That's what a disciple is all about. We talked last week about what's the core foundation of a disciple. What is the one thing that we're called to do? And that one thing, if as you read through the Gospels, as you read through the letters that the different apostles wrote, it's to the core foundation is about character formation. It's about being having your character shaped. Why would that be core? Because it's your character that drives everything else out. Because if you want to talk about, you know, the church talks a lot about being missional, going out into the community and engaging. And yes, we're called to do that. But remember, your character, if it's immature, that'll come out in your expressions. In your spiritual gifts, if you have an immature character, that'll come out. And so that's why you hear Jesus talking about in his teachings about building that up, about that foundation being solid. And that's why you read Paul's letters, and actually every letter in the New Testament is talking to the church about their character, about what, you know, how they're looking, how they're being conformed into Jesus' image. And that whole call, I said last week, is taken from where it's rooted in, is from the great commandment, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And in order to do that, we need our character developed to really love God with everything. Now, if that's the case, that it's rooted in the great commandment, because Jesus said that is the greatest. That's the pinnacle, that command. And he said everything hangs from that. The law and the prophets, everything hangs from that. So in other words, everything flows from that, the great commandment. And if that's the case, we got to take all of the commandment. And the second part is, right, because we have the first part. And the second part is love your neighbor as yourself. It's not just about character formation, but it's about also loving your neighbor. And as disciples of Christ, that's what you're called to. When you're invited to follow Jesus, that's what he's calling you to. Both things we're called to. And as you read as you look through the Gospels and look at what Jesus was doing, what was he doing? He was loving his neighbors. And who was his neighbors? Everybody. You don't have to figure that one out. Anybody who intersected his life, that was his neighbor, and he extended, and he showed us. He demonstrated what that looks like to love your neighbor. He demonstrated that it was very simple. And then then he was executed, and he was buried. After 3 days, he rose again. And he met with his disciples. Luke records in the book of Acts that when he met with his disciples, what did he talk about? The kingdom of God. Check that in Acts, the first four verses. He talked about the kingdom. That's what it says. But one of the things John notes in his gospel is that when he was with his disciples after he was resurrected, it says he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he said to them, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Right? As him, so us. We are called to speak the words and do his actions. That's what we're called to do as his disciples. It wasn't just for the 12. It wasn't for just those who were called apostles. It was called for his church to say his words, do his works. Do that, to engage in that, right? So what's that all about anyway? It's all rooted here in Mark. Well, every gospel reveals this. But Jesus' core message was this. And this is what Mark records. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. Right? That was his message. Core message. That's what he was bringing. The kingdom of God. And you have to ask, why is it good news that the kingdom of God is near? Why is that good? Why is that good? Does it make a difference in your life? The kingdom of God is near? Does it? Yeah? Yeah? Absolutely it does. Absolutely. Because in the kingdom, everything gets restored. Everything. You read that in Revelation. You read that in the Old Testament prophets. That when the kingdom comes, everything will be set right. And there is that hope that we have that when the Messiah comes, things are going to be restored. And that's what Jesus was bringing. And it was tangible restoration. There was tangible things. When you read the Gospels, because when Jesus came, did things change? Things changed when he came? When you read the Gospels, did they change? Yeah, you read stories about people being healed, right? People being delivered. People being raised from the dead, right? Leprosy gone. People following him. People having new life. Things are restored, and you get these glimpses, these breakthroughs of what the kingdom looks like. Tangible things. Tangible things, what you see. And he has invited us to join him in that. It's a co-mission. It's not just his mission. It's our mission because it's his mission. And we're part of him, part of what he's all about. Luke records, and Jesus was very clear about this. He didn't hide this, that this was his mission. Luke records a little story about when Jesus returned to his hometown of Nazareth. He went into a synagogue on the Sabbath, and they handed him the scroll of Isaiah. And it says that he went through the scroll till he found a certain passage. It was Isaiah 61, and this is what he read to them. I would have loved to have been there, because you probably could have heard a pin drop. But he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent," listen to if you hear restoration in this. "He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." And then it says, he rolled up the scroll, sat down, and he said, "This prophecy has been fulfilled." And then how did the people respond? Applause? Yay! No, actually, it says they were ready to kill him at that point. They were ready to kill him. Because of what he was, because in that, he was saying a lot. He was saying a lot. That's the good news of the kingdom. Restoration. That we're being restored. That he's coming, he wants to restore people's lives. That's the good news. He wants to restore it from the inside out. As him, so us. That's what we're called to do, to bring that, to announce it. So does that mean everything is restored right now? Look around. How many here have been prayed for and haven't been healed? I have. You don't have to be afraid to say, "Well, I haven't." It's okay. That's reality, right? You pray, not everybody gets healed. Put your hand up if you have experienced healing. There you go. Okay, leave them up. Okay. Just look around, look at the hands. Okay? Keep that in mind now. Keep that in mind, okay? Just keep that in mind. You can put your hands down now. So what does it mean? If Jesus came bringing the kingdom, how come we don't see healing all the time? And I just want to touch on this real quick. How come we don't see that all the time? Well, in order to figure that out, you have to pay attention to Jesus' words. Okay? So, in the Lord's Prayer, we prayed that this morning. What's one of the phrases we say? Your kingdom come, your will be done. So we're praying, God, your kingdom come, please. There's a sense of it's being delayed. We want your kingdom. It hasn't arrived yet. We want your kingdom. Okay, you hear that? From Mark's gospel, what I read to you there, the kingdom of God is near. It's really close. Okay, so is it delayed or is it near? Well, if you read in Luke 17, Jesus says, you won't be able to say, here it is, he's speaking of the kingdom, or it's over there, for the kingdom of God is already among you. So it's here. Right? And then from Matthew, you get Jesus saying, and I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom. It's a future, something that's going to happen in the future. So which is it? What is it? You know? Is it delayed? Is it near? Is it present? Is it a future event? It's all of it. It's all of it. Because the kingdom is at the very end times when that kingdom is ushered in and everything gets restored. But when Jesus came, he broke through. See, the enemy wasn't ready for that, right? He came in, he broke through, and you get glimpses of his kingdom. And it's like, there it is. There it is. Now, when you saw those hands up, those are evidences of his kingdom breaking through. And you can say, well, it hasn't happened to me yet. But there's evidence that it's breaking through. And we are invited to join him in that. To join him in announcing the kingdom and doing the works. We get to do that. We get to play on that. It's not a spectator thing. Right? Church is 24/7. That's the neat thing about it. A nice phrase that has been used to describe this is this phrase here, the already not yet. It's here, but it's not fully here. It's coming. We see glimpses, but it will come. It's not full, but it's coming. There's anticipation there. You see it. How many? Have you prayed for somebody? Prayed for healing? Yeah. Nothing? Nope. What do you do with that, right? Press more. That's right. Keep going. Why?
It's just bound to happen.
Okay. Okay. Because you have to ask, why keep doing it? Okay. Why? We'll touch on that real quick. Sometimes you'll share, you know, you'll have opportunities, share about your faith to somebody, a friend or a family member, or maybe just a stranger, and you invite them, and they say, yes, I'd love to follow Jesus. I want to be, and it's like, oh, what was that? That's the kingdom breaking through, right? And sometimes you can share it, invite them, and they go, no. It happens. It happens, right? Happened to Jesus. Right? And kingdom breaks through, but it's not fully here yet. Not fully. And we get to participate in that. We get to he calls us to join him to do his works. And the beauty of it, one of the beauties of it, we don't have to do this on our own. Because we think we just got to muster up this faith ourselves, right? And so we'll do things like talk louder, pray louder, you know, shake the person, whatever, right? And we don't have to. Because what did he give us for a gift? What did he give us? His Spirit. The beauty of what Jesus went around healing people. And then when he ascended into heaven, he said, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. And he's going to live in you. He's going to guide you and direct you and empower you. You believe it? You're empowered. Let me tell you why. It says in Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know why? And I can use this analogy because I'm really familiar with it. But when men or women are sworn in as police officers, right, they take an oath, and they're given a badge, a warrant card, it's called, right? And a badge that goes with it. But on that warrant card, it says the powers they have, and it's signed by whoever. If it's a municipality, it's signed by it from the city. Or if it's province, signed by premier. Or if it's federal, it's signed by the prime minister, right? They have a warrant card. It says they can fulfill the powers of a police officer. That change anything? It's just a card. That's all it is. It's just a card. It changes. If you believe it, though, it changes everything. It does. Because there's something about when you get it and you go to pull that first person over or you go to arrest that first person, there's something in your head that goes, I have authority to do this. Because I have the province backing me up. So I can do this. What it changes is your posture, your body language, your speech, everything. Because you have no problem going. You're under arrest. Come. And the you don't have to fess that up. Okay. And you don't have to, and the funny thing is, if the person says, I'm not going, all that's in my head is, maybe you're not going right now, and not going as the way I'd want you to, but you are going. We just go to plan B now, right? But if, there's that thing. Now, here's the danger. If I go to arrest, but I really don't believe I have the authority to arrest, that's scary because that you can pick it up in my body language, in my speech, in everything. And you know the resistance you'll get? Huge resistance. Because they'll go away. And you probably will go away, I'm sorry. Because you're doubting, right? It changes everything. You've been given authority, you walk it out, right? You have it. And Jesus has the authority, and it's like he gives us the warrant card to say, go and do what I have been doing. Go and do it. You have his authority. That makes all the difference in the world. Makes all the difference in the world. I wrestled whether I should give this. This is the attitude you should have, but I'm going to give it. We talked about that if you pray and people don't get healed, or you pray and maybe somebody does, or you hear about it, you hear stories, and you ask the question, why should I continue to pray? And I think it was you, George, or one of you guys, said, because it might happen today, you know? That's the attitude people who play the lottery on a regular basis have. Why else do they go back week after week after week after week? Right? Why? Because, yeah, maybe I'll win this week. Well, they hear about it. Somebody, you know, out east or out west or north, or somebody won. Well, that could be me. And so they go back every week, back and back. And they do that, not for like 10 times. You have people who have, I had a friend, it was in his budget, right? It was part of his budget every week. And his thing was, I might win. And he keeps, and that's the determination we should have, that the kingdom may break through today. So that's why I'm going to pray, because it may break through, because we saw every hands go up. Now, you wouldn't get that if I said, how many here have won the lottery before? Don't. Okay. Okay. Right? What's that? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we pray and we expect, and we go in there with the attitude that yes, Jesus has all authority. All authority has been given to him. And we announce the kingdom. Because when you announce the kingdom, that's like Moses going to Pharaoh saying, let my people go. And what Moses was saying was, you know your time is coming to an end, right? You know that. And that's what we're announcing to the enemy. You do know your time is coming to an end. Father, let your kingdom come right now in this situation. Let it come. That's what we pray. And that's what we announce. And here's the beauty of it. Jesus calls everybody to do this. It's not about anointing. It's about obedience. It's about just walking it out. Because faith, here's the thought that came to me, and you can push back on this afterwards. Okay, but here's the thought that came to me. I want the anointing. Because if I have the anointing, then I know I can do it. I got the power now. Problem with that is, really, when I say I want the anointing, what is it I want? I want proof. This is what I want anyway. I want proof that the kingdom is real. I need proof, God. I need you to prove it to me. So give me the anointing. Then I will step out. That's not faith. Faith is no. You've said you have all authority, Jesus. You've called us to go out. Faith is, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to pray. And faith is trusting that as I pray, His Holy Spirit's going to move and work and heal and touch people. Anybody. Doesn't matter. No, and age isn't a factor. It's not, no, you got to be 16. And then you just get your learner's permit. And then we'll slowly work you up to a G1 and then a G, you know, G2 and then G and, you know, and no. It's not like that. Because look what he did in the Gospels, right? Pick 72. You're going out. You can go out in pairs. See ya. Come back and report what happened. And you know what happened. Amazing stuff. But he calls you. If you go, I'm a disciple, you're called. Right? You're called. And the other great thing is, you can just be you doing it. Right? You can just be you. Your personality. Now, that's why it's really important for your character to be formed. Because your personality can come out, right? Depending on what it is. But you can be you, who you are. I think one of the problems we have is we sometimes read Paul, or we read the book of Acts and see how different apostles spoke and their actions, and we think that is what a disciple does. No. They got expressed through their personality. Peter, Paul, they were very in-your-face type people, probably extroverts, probably, maybe not. But that's how they operated, in that way. And you're called to operate in who you are. Just be you. Why? Because it has nothing to do with your personality, whether the person's going to get healed or not. It has everything to do with the Holy Spirit. It has everything to do with the mission that Jesus is on. And we are simply his agents. We are simply joining him in this. And we come in his name. That's beautiful. So we can pray. And that's where the church is mobilized 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Whatever you come, you may come into a situation. Look for it this week. You may come into a situation where you have an opportunity to pray for. Can I pray for you? They may say no. They may say yes, too. They may not get healed, but they may, right? The kingdom may go bosh through, and you go, oh, wow, wow. And we keep doing it. Why? Because that's the mission he's on. That's the mission he's on. So just be natural when it comes to the supernatural. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. You're good. If you're an introvert, it's okay. If you're an extrovert, we'll forgive you. You know? No, but you wouldn't want the world full of introverts, and you wouldn't want the world full of extroverts, right? So just be who God's created you to be. Be yourself. Okay. You guys love adventure, don't you? Take the rest who didn't answer. They want to find out first. Why are you asking that question? There's a reason. There is a reason. This is what I want us to do today. Normally, we do what's called ministry time, right? And we have people come up to the front, the prayer ministry team prays for you. But we just said that everybody can pray, right? We just said that. So that doesn't really make sense. So this is what we're going to do, okay? I want you to get, don't move yet, okay? Lock the doors. Nobody can go out. I want us to go in just little groups around where you're sitting. 4, 5, 6 people. 3 people even, that's fine. You know, about 4 or 5 is usually comfortable. And as, when you gather around, oh, yeah. So you're going to gather around and see, is there anybody that has... like anybody need healing? Now, that could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be spiritual. Okay? Right? And then I want you to pray. Now, if you're not comfortable praying, you can observe. The model I want us to follow is typical what we use in the vineyard. And it's the 5-step prayer model. And also, it's just a guide. It's not something you got to follow this. It's a guide to help, right? Because sometimes if you're not sure of what to do, you don't know where to start. But here's a good place to start. And the prayer ministry team, they use this. So step one would be listen to the person and to God. What does that mean? Here, Chris, come up here. So if I'm going to pray for Chris, if I'm going to pray for Chris, I'm going to ask him, so what can I pray for? Now, at the same time, in my head, I'm also listening, what is the Lord saying to me too, right? Because Chris may say, I don't know, what do you need prayer for?
Well, I'm going for an operation for my knee on Friday.
Okay. How'd that, what for?
Torn meniscus.
How'd that happen?
Because I ran like a fool.
Okay. Right? So I just ask, right? And I'm listening to the Lord as well. And I may hear something, right? And I may not. But Chris has mentioned that. So then I go to determine what the problem is. Now, why would I determine what the problem is? Well, it could be that as I'm talking to Chris, and maybe it's something else, but maybe it's, I don't know, I have a sense that there's another issue that's underlying this, right? Because a lot of times things can come out in our, you know, what we're dealing with, the stress we're carrying around can come out physically, right? And so we're going to pray. And then step three is pray to God, speak from God. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to ask the Father, come and heal right now. Come and heal. But I'm also going, if there's any words the Lord, what I sense the Lord giving me, and trust the Lord speaks to you. I know we think, no, he wouldn't speak to me, would he? Yeah, he would. He would speak to you. He would. He would. It's a very thin place, right? Where to, very thin. The Lord will speak. He does speak. And so then I just begin to pray. So is it, and I, if I pray for you, pray for your knee. Is that okay? Is that okay?
Sure it is.
Okay. Okay. You can say, if you're not comfortable with it, that's okay. No, but that's what you do. You be courteous, right? You be courteous. And then if I'm really sensing I should put my hand on his knee, I need to ask that. I need to ask that. Because he may not be. Is it okay if I put my hand on your knee?
Sure.
Okay. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, right? I'm praying and I'm saying, Father, Lord God, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you have brought your kingdom. Your kingdom has come. And that with that comes healing. And so I speak to the knee and I say, I just speak, Father, would you come and heal this knee by the power of your Holy Spirit? Speak to the meniscus to be healed, to be for any tearing to be healed, to come together. Speak for the pain to be gone, the swelling to go down, and everything to be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hear the Lord saying he's with you. He is with you through this. He is with you. And his desire is for you. Do you feel anything at all? Is there anything different? Hard to say?
Yeah, it's not terribly inflamed right now. So.
Okay. Well, Father, Lord, we just pray for more healing here. Pray your kingdom to come. Let your kingdom come. Come, Holy Spirit, heal this knee. Heal this knee. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And as I pray, I keep my eyes open so I can see what's going on. See if I'm sensing anything, right? And if I do, I can ask about that if I'm sensing anything. And then I can just ask. So, you have any more movement or does it feel the same?
Yeah, it feels sort of the same, but it's difficult because like it's not.
Okay. Okay. Have you sensed anything as I was praying? Did you any sense at all about anything? Like, did you? No, be honest.
Yeah, not particularly.
Okay, okay. But I just want you to know that the Lord has heard our prayers, and He loves you. He loves you. So we just thank Him that He has met you today. He has met you. So, right? That's it. That's all. Right? That's it. That's how you pray. Well, there's not even how to pray. You just talk to God. Right? There's no formula. There's no certain words you have to use. You just pray. Sound good? Okay. So there will be folks from the prayer ministry team who may just see if everything's okay, everything good. Any questions? They're not going to pray. They're not going to step in. They're just going to sort of be coach, right? Okay. You okay with this? Okay. Because you've always said you don't want to be spectators. Okay. So, we'll spend a bit of time praying, and then I'll just close us off when I sense that it's time to close us off. We don't need to be long. This isn't long, right? Long doesn't mean better, right? just is what it is. So if I could just, groups of four, five, six, it doesn't matter. Okay? And if you just want to observe, you can just observe. That's all you can, okay? So, go. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Just look around you. Gather in little groups. Okay?